Obviously, it was an incredible sports weekend, but at the forefront of all of our minds right now, I just want to open the episode with a brief moment to recognize the folks whose lives have been impacted by the violence on Friday night in our city of Milwaukee. It was especially painful to read about it from afar, given I live literally two blocks from the Deer District. So all of the families and people affected are in my prayers. It was a really, really hard thing to wake up to Saturday morning reading about here in Phoenix. But let's talk about some Brewers baseball and keep them at our minds as they hope to make a full recovery. This is Locked On Brewers.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Good morning. It is Monday, and after a happy flight for the Brewers, they are coming home for a six-game homestand, starting tonight with the defending world champions, the Atlanta Braves. I'm Dominic Catronio. Thanks for making us your first listen of the day. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has more odds, more props, and more lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. I'm the statistician for Bally Sports Wisconsin, but if you are paying attention to Twitter and paying attention to our Locked On Brewers, things are a little quiet this weekend because, as I mentioned here at the top, I'm in Phoenix. By the time you're listening to this, I am in the air on my way back to Milwaukee to be working the Braves and the Brewers series tonight. I got to call three more games for Pac-12 Network, Oregon, and Arizona State. It was a blast to be back on television doing the play-by-play things. Thanks to everybody who reached out, kind words. I know BA tweeted something and Jeff posted something, so my thanks to those guys as well. But I'm gone. I know some folks are really worried after Saturday night, but hey, they still got a series win. Not as much detail we're going to really get into in these episodes, since I'm just going to be straight up. I only watched the condensed games. I didn't get a chance to even see a single live pitch this weekend. It was just too much going on for me, you know, 2 hours behind the central time zone. But from what I can read and reading the box scores and reading the recaps, we're going to go through the weekend and look ahead to the Braves with a light Monday episode here today before we get back into the swing of things and finally get back to Milwaukee here today. So let's go back to Friday first and foremost. Friday, Brewers win 2-1 in what, as advertised, was an ace off. Pablo Lopez, the league leader in ERA going into the game against Corbin Burns, of course, the reigning Cy Young Award winner. And you know what? Not just Brewers fans are asking me, what the heck is going on with the Brewers offense when Corbin Burns is pitching? And I will repeat the theory that I said last week. This is the same theory I told a buddy of mine who was asking because he has Corbin Burns on his fantasy baseball roster. Yes, the Brewers win the game. They only scored two runs. Burns gets another no decision. But why can't the Brewers score against Burns? My theory, if you've missed it, is when you are the opening day starter, and with the Brewers running a five-man, six-man rotation using extra days off, as opposed to other teams staying pretty traditional with just strict five-man rotations, you are going to match up with the other ace more often than any other pitcher in your rotation. We saw this happen last season with Brandon Woodruff. Think about how little run support he was getting last season. And now that baton has seemed to be passed to Corbin Burns. It's not everything, but my theory is just simply the fact Corbin Burns is matching up in these games more often than anybody else on the Brewers. I mean, can you think of any other absolute, no doubt, pitcher's duels on paper that were supposed to arrive for anybody other than Corbin Burns this season? Eric Lauer has come on the scene. No one expected the season that he's had and the start that he has had. But for Corbin Burns, facing Pablo Lopez, a 1.00 ERA going into that game on Friday, he still only allowed one run, the leadoff homer to Colton Wong. It's kind of uncanny, but it still makes sense, right? The fact that Burns is seeing so many other aces so far this season. But teased it, buried the lead, Colton Wong, yet another leadoff home run. I mean, it's shocking because it wasn't like he never was a leadoff hitter with the Cardinals, but the Brewers have unlocked something with Colton Wong in the leadoff spot and letting him swing away. And I don't want to put words into his mouth, but he's always kind of implied of saying, look, the Cardinals had a different thought of what I could be as a hitter. And now the Brewers are saying, no, you've got some pop, and we'd love to have it at the top of the order. So in total now, that's 11 leadoff home runs in his career, and all 11 of them have come as a member of the Brewers. It's his second already this season. His other one came against the Reds on the first pitch of the game. This one came on the second pitch of the game. And by the way, it's the third time in his career, that he has sent the first pitch of a game out of the yard for a home run. So Wong starts things off exactly how he won against the league's ERA leader. But then the bats went quiet, and credit to Pablo Lopez. He really hit a new gear that second time through the order. He had a career-high 11 strikeouts in this game. Look, he's going to be an all-star. He's going to be in the Cy Young running. And that changeup, man, it felt like a Devin Williams changeup for a little bit there. More on him in a little bit, too. But there was a point in that game that felt like Lopez was telling the Brewers, hey, changeup's coming. Try to hit it. And he was locating perfectly, where it looks like a fastball down, falls off the table at the last second, or better yet, looks like a fastball on the outside corner to a lefty, and then tumbles off the table, arm side run, away. That was just some absolute masterclass changeup stuff from Pablo Lopez. He had a great start, but also a no decision for him. The one mistake for Burns was the home run to Jesus Aguilar. For Burns, that's now 6 home runs allowed this season. He allowed 7 in all of 2022. I don't know if it's just because teams are more geared up for the cutter and understanding what it's supposed to look like. Granted, the majority of the home runs he's allowed this year have come on the sinker. It's something that's alarming that as we complain about the offense not getting the proper carry on baseballs, there's something going on with Corbin Burns, it seems these teams are hitting the ball well, they're seeing it well, and he does throw hard, which helps the case too, but I'm not excited to see what that could turn into in the summer months if he doesn't get to the bottom of it. The good news is most of his home runs allowed have been solo homers, so solo homers aren't going to beat you. He ends up with a no decision in this one. And then the Brewers got their run in the 9th inning to take the lead. Devin Williams gets the win thanks to a great bounce-back effort in this game on Friday night. All y'all wanted to option him after his last clunker. This dude is nasty. 12 pitches, 2 strikeouts, 7 strikes, just a 1-2-3 inning ho-hum. This dude's one of the best relievers in baseball. He's allowed to be human every now and then. He's getting back into his groove. But then in the 9th inning, it started with a Christian Yelich opposite field single. In the amount of time that we have seen Christian Yelich start to go opposite field, especially since that cycle against the Reds, and even a little bit he was trying to work opposite field against the Braves too, Yelich continues to swing a good bat. He had hits in 2 of the 3 games in this series. He did draw 2 walks in yesterday's game too. He's reached base now in 6 straight games going back to the Reds series. Things are looking up for him, continuing to, and he starts that rally. Tyrone Taylor hit a shot to right that Yelich couldn't score on because he had a hang-up making sure the right fielder didn't catch it. And eventually, Jace Peterson draws a bases-loaded walk to give the Brewers a lead, and Josh Hader slams the door with a 1-2-3 bottom of the 9th inning, his 13th save in as many games. That sets an MLB record for most saves to start a season in your appearances, meaning every single one of your appearances being a save opportunity, going 13-for-13 to start the year. He's the best closer in baseball. Reminder, he's the best. Just look around the rest of the league at who are the other guys you figure are best closers, and Hader continues to run away with it. As far as Jace Peterson right now, I mean, we can get into him a little bit right now before we go into Saturday and Sunday's games. Jace is hot. It seems like since Luis Urias returned, he's really become a lot more comfortable. Remember, Urias returned at the start of the Red Series at home back on May 3rd. Since Urias rejoined the team, Jace Peterson has now played in nine games. He has started 7 of them. He's made a few starts at first base, too. He's hitting .321. He's got 2 home runs. He's got 4 walks. He's got a .1049 OPS. He's got hits in all but 1 of his 9 games. He's doing his job. He's been great off the bench, and he's still making starts at first base, as we saw in yesterday's game, too. He made a start in left field against the Reds. He's clicking it into gear. The month of May has been great to him. I mean, he ended April hitting just 171, yet here in May, he's hitting 290 in the month alone. Really encouraging to see from a guy that you're not really, it's icing. It's not even icing. It's frosting. It's sprinkles. It's, you know, just chocolate chips on top of the sundae for Jace Peterson to have him providing in the nine hole for your offense as things get going here for the Brew Crew. So that's Friday's game. Saturday, there's not much to talk about Saturday. Yes, Willie hits another home run in this game, but it gets away from Eric Lauer on Saturday. Jesus Aguilar, again, another homer, attacks a hanging cutter. Jorge Soler hits a home run in the inning, too, on a fastball away. And then the backbreaker came on the Brian Anderson home run. It was the third homer of that fourth inning. And Marlins never looked back, especially taking advantage of some miscues by the Brewers' defense. Urias made an error at second that would have been a double play. Instead of it being 5-1, it eventually became 8-1. Adamas couldn't get a ball out of his mitt on trying to turn two either. Just wasn't a pretty day. It was just not a pretty day on Saturday. And let's talk about yesterday's game. But before we do that, we want to take a quick breather and tell you about our presenting sponsor, BetOnline. They got more odds, more lines, more props than ever before. They've got all the news, all the latest odds, sports developments, basketball playoffs. Of course, the Bucks are not moving on. Major League Baseball scores, fights, and next season's NFL futures with the schedule out. Did y'all any of y'all watch some hockey last night? More on that in a second. But BetOnline has everything you need. Sports wagering, live betting, playoffs, esports, and plenty, plenty more. Head to their website. It's betonline.net. You can learn about the trends and get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Quick little soapbox here. Y'all know I'm a Suns fan. I'm from Phoenix. Much respect to the Bucks, what they did last year. No hate whatsoever. Yesterday was a weird day. However, I'm from Phoenix, but I was actually born in Texas, and the guy that made me fall in love with hockey was Mike Modano with the Dallas Stars, so I've maintained my Dallas Stars fandom, even though I'm not a Mavericks fan really anymore. Steve Nash was my guy growing up when he went to Suns. I followed him to the Suns, and whole long story, but yesterday was a really crappy day for me, okay? Okay? Between the Bucks losing, that's my, you know, Eastern Conference team now by adoption. The Suns losing in Game 7 to the Mavs, a team that I'm not really a fan of anymore, but you got to respect Luka. And then the Dallas Stars losing in epic overtime against the Calgary Flames. Jake Ottinger, man, if you haven't seen the highlights from his night last night, go look him up. The Otter was on point. Let's get back to baseball now. So Sunday, yesterday, Brewers looking for the series win. They haven't won a series on this three-city road trip. They lose 2 out of 3 in Atlanta. They lose 2 out of 3 to the Reds, and everyone acts like the sky is falling. But after an off day on Thursday, they win on Friday, lose on Saturday. So Sunday's a big one. Sunday is certainly a big one. Trying to make sure it's not a terrible all for naught road trip. And this is that part of the schedule that I teased about 2 weeks ago, that the Brewers, this is going to be tough sledding. That from now all the way about to the middle of June, that the Brewers are playing so much on the road with these three-city road trips right now. So the fact that they can get out of this road trip going 4-5, all you ask is to be about 500 on the road. If you can win 2 out of 3 at home, you're in the playoffs every single time. But this was the first of 3 consecutive three-city road trips. This stretch will end on June 19th in Cincinnati. So they come home for 6 against the Braves and the Nationals. Then they have a tough trip this next go-around where they'll play 11 games in 10 days, all on the road. They go for 3 in San Diego, 4 in St. Louis, and then 4 against the Cubs with a doubleheader on Memorial Day, May 30th, before returning home for only another 7, but against the Padres and the Phillies, two teams that'll be fighting for playoff positioning. And then they go on the road to the East Coast, the Nationals, the Mets, and then back west to take on the Reds on their way back home to Milwaukee. So as things move forward, the Brewers are still in good shape. They're 22-13. Things are looking up right now, but let's talk again. Circle June 19th on your calendar, that June 20th episode. Let's assess how everything has gone since these 10-day road trips began. So yesterday, they salvaged the finale of this road trip, a 7-3 final, but at what cost? Willy Adames rolled his ankle in this game. All we know is that he is day-to-day. He tried to go back out there for the second. He was lifted. It's a shame because those Jordans were awesome on him yesterday, too. But something that was always a red flag for the Brewers, and even Craig Counsell knew about it during spring training when Luis Urias was hurt, making it clear, there is no backup for Willy Adames. Wicho is the only backup for Adames. So the fact that Willy is now hurt, and this, it's always a knock on wood, heaven forbid type situation when you say, oh, well, we don't really have a true backup shortstop aside from Urias. Let's just hope Willy doesn't get hurt. He wants to play all 162. Well, quite frankly, with the way he rolled that ankle and the pain that he was in, he's going to go through more testing today. I'd be shocked if he's in the lineup tonight. I really would be. I know he's going to probably beg and plead to be in it, but it takes a lot for him to come out of a game, and the fact that he was out of it just one inning later is certainly troubling, but let's let him get that ankle healthy. Athletes roll ankles all the time and come back A-OK. This is baseball. It's not basketball. It's not like Giannis rolling his ankle or anything like that, but he is a shortstop, a premium defensive position where he will be needing to have all of his mobility available to him. Let's let it go. The Brewers are calling it day-to-day for Willy Adames as he scored on a sac fly from Luis Urias. The Brewers scored first in this one, but the Marlins actually had responded to take a 3-1 lead, a bloop by Peyton Henry, the former Brewers prospect, not somebody that was in the Christian Yelich trade. And oh, by the way, how about the fact that this year, as the Brewers return to Miami and Yelich, again, going back to his former big league team, that the players in that trade that the Brewers gave to the Marlins to acquire Christian Yelich in 2018, Lewis Brinson, Isan Diaz, Monte Harrison, Jordan Yamamoto, all four of those players are not in the organization less than 4 years later. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. So Peyton Henry, by the way that he was acquired, he was formerly a Brewers farmhand. He was in the John Curtis deal last July, as John Curtis, of course, wasn't really a sticking point for the Brewers last year. He only appeared in 6 games. Anyway, 3-1 lead. Then the pop returns, back-to-back homers from that man again, Jace Peterson, who's been hot, and Colton Wong playing in his 1,000th career game. Can you wrap that around your head for a second? 1,000 career games in the big leagues? He's 31 years old. He's played 1,000 games. His current service time is a little over 8 years. When you get to 10 years, you get that kick-in lifetime pension. It's what amazing number to accomplish 1,000 games, and he's well on his way to getting to 10 years of service time. He's a 2-time Gold Glover. He was a Rookie of the Year finalist. What a career that Colton Wong is putting together. He's also got 8 stolen bases, which is actually tied for the league lead right now. And dad strength is also turning into dad wheels for Colton Wong right now. So he's got 3 homers, 2 over this weekend, and also 8 stolen bases this season. So Wong's been great. Rowdy Tellez, an opposite field RBI single. He's starting to heat up again. He had a tough go of it in Cincinnati, aside from the opener of that series. Rowdy now is hitting .248. The on-base isn't great, but the slugging has come back a little bit down to earth at .837, but tied for the league lead still with 29 runs batted in. He also added a home run in this one. It was his 8th of the year to straightaway center field. It feels like every single one of Rowdy's homers is dead center, except for like the ones he pulls on accident to right center. All of his power is to straightaway center, which is so impressive to see out of a left-handed hitter. He's starting to heat up. But maybe I'm burying the lead as far as the best performance in this game. Aaron Ashby. Whoa! Man, did he click it into gear in this one. Ashby, he would have faced the minimum if it wasn't for a strikeout wild pitch. 4 nearly perfect innings. He faced 13 batters. He did not allow a base runner aside from that strikeout wild pitch. No hits, no walks, which has been huge for Ashby. Woodruff does get the win in this one, but here's my decision. It should go to Ashby, right? He was lights out dominant. Didn't even need to go to anybody else in the bullpen. Obviously, it wasn't a save situation, so you weren't going to hate her. But the fact that he did not even blink at the thought of finishing this game when he took over in the 6th. We've seen this a couple of times now this season in which Ashby is serving as the middleman and coming in after Brandon Woodruff to pitch, it worked to perfection today for Ashby. And for him, that's a huge confidence boost. Given the last few outings, the Braves tagged him for a few runs. They were not fooled by anything he was doing. 8 strikeouts in 4 innings of near flawless relief. Fantastic work. Absolutely fantastic work for Aaron Ashby. He technically gets a save, one of the older rules of baseball, that if you pitch at least 3 innings and you close the game, no matter the score, you get a save. And that's what Ashby gets, his first big league save. He only needed 55 pitches to get those 4 innings out as well, even with those 8 Ks. Hopefully that can roll into some confidence for him here in the rest of May moving forward and getting near the quarter mark of the season here in 2022. Going to take a quick breather here as we're going to look ahead to the Braves and the Nationals coming to town. But first, with summer here practically, what beautiful weather we've been having. Imagine dipping your finger into a plastic tub of birthday cake frosting and then opening your eyes and realizing, wait a minute, 16 grams of protein in frosting? Only 150 calories? That's what it's like to eat the birthday cake puff from Built. You can throw it into your summer routine this year. It's a healthy, sweet treat for you all summer long. It is incredible. I've never had anything like this. It's a protein-infused marshmallow, and they've got specialty flavors just for the puffs, but if they're not your flavor, you can go with all of their Built bars as well. They're covered in 100% real chocolate. You can make your birthday every day with Built Bars cake puffs, and with only 150 calories, only 9 grams of sugar, it's a limited time flavor, so you got to get your hands on this and feel better about eating something sweet. Got an offer for you too if you want to try it out. Go to Built.com, B-U-I-L-T.com, promo code's LOCKED15 to get 15% off. Once again, at Built, B-U-I-L-T.com, promo code's LOCKED15 for 15% off. One more series with the Braves already. I mean, in the span of 2 weeks, the Brewers are going to be done with Atlanta for the entire season. So Ian Anderson will get the ball today. Today and tomorrow, both 6:40 first pitches. Ian Anderson getting the ball. He is 3-1, a 4.00 ERA. Yet again, a left-handed starter. We're watching this be a trend for the Brewers that they have struggled against lefties this season. Going up against Freddie Peralta, who has been pitching better as of late. A 2-1 record for Freddie. A 4.40 ERA, trying to shake off the cold start that he's gotten off to. Also a 6:40 start tomorrow. A TBD currently at the time of your listening for the Braves. They're expecting perhaps Spencer Strider to serve as an opener, which the Brewers are not excited if that's the case, because remember, he was the guy that was slamming the door shut in the bullpen day against the Braves last week. He came in after Jesse Chavez and was striking everybody out, throwing 99-mile-an-hour gas, also with some heavy wipeout sliders. So he's maybe going to pitch Tuesday. It is still listed as TBD. Going up against the sinker baller Adrian Hauser, who will try to rebound after his tough finale in Cincinnati. His ERA has swelled to 3.86. A lot of those runs, though, were unearned against him against the Reds. And then finally, an earlier start on Wednesday, even though it's a home off day for the Brewers on Thursday, a 12:10 first pitch on Wednesday, and goes back to my theory that I talked about earlier, that Corbin Burnes seems to be facing all of the aces on the other side. He's facing Max Fried, 4-2 record, a 3.14 ERA. Burnes is now 1-2 somehow with a 1.77 ERA. Cy Burnes, man, what a year. Picking up exactly where he left off. We're spoiled, and we get to see him pitch at home. Thursday's an off day before the Nationals come to town. The Nationals are not off to a great start. There's not much else I can really say. The Nationals, as we sit here on Monday morning, they are 12-24. That is the second worst record in the National League. They have a minus 36 run differential, which is actually only the third worst in the National League. Only worse are Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, but they are non-competitive in the NL East. Of course, they've lost a lot of their talent. Josh Bell might be available to some teams this coming year at the trade deadline as they continue to tear things down. They'll be in town Friday, Saturday, and Sunday against the Brew Crew as they enjoy a home off day on Thursday. A quick peek around the league right now. The Dodgers are still in a great battle to start off things in the West. The Dodgers and Padres are virtually tied. They have two games in hand due to the Padres. The Dodgers are 21-12. The Padres are 22-13. So they are tied in virtual record. San Francisco's now got 20 wins, even though they've lost their last two contests. They got boat raced last night on Sunday Night Baseball. They got boat raced so bad that Albert Pujols, with a 15-2 lead, decided to pitch in that game for the Cardinals. That was wild. Now Albert Pujols becomes one of only two players in MLB history to have pitched in a game and have 600 home runs in their career. I think you can guess who the other one is. Babe Ruth. And also, Arizona's still above 500. They dropped two out of three, though, against the Cubs. Colorado is back to 500. They dropped a wacky one against the Royals. That's a look at the NL West. The East, it's all the Mets. They're the only team above 500 right now. They're 23-13, second best record in baseball. Third best record in baseball, only behind the Yankees and the Angels over in the AL. The Astros are right there, too, at 23-12. But the Yankees, best record in baseball, 25-9. They're 14-4 at home. They have the second best run differential in baseball at plus 69. One worse than the LA Dodgers, who salvaged the finale against the Phillies yesterday as well. The Braves are coming in with a quiet flight, a wacky game against the Padres that San Diego won by a final of 7-3 in 11 innings. Neither team scored in the 10th inning with the placed runner, but then the Padres managed four runs in the top of the 11th inning. That was highlighted by a Ha-Sung Kim double to score the placed runner, then a throwing error by Dansby Swanson kept the inning alive, an RBI on a ground out by Jerickson Profar, a stolen base, a two-run single, and it just kind of got out of hand for the Braves, so they will be coming in cold while the Brewers are coming in hot with the happy flights. Everybody loves a happy flight, and I'm on a happy flight right now if you're listening to this here on Monday morning. Thank you again for listening. Back tomorrow, back to a regular sleep schedule, I hope, for me, and trying to get things back to normal in Milwaukee. Thanks for everybody who reached out again to say kind words about me being back on the air this weekend. I really, really greatly appreciate it. Can't wait to be back here with the Brewers rest of the year. We'll be bouncing around here and there too, but let's have some fun. Brewers and Braves tonight at 6:40. Until then, keep on swinging.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.